Hi, and welcome to the 3rd Annual Nonfiction Writers Conference. I'm Stephanie Chandler, your host for the event. This session is with Chris Garrett on blogging for authors. Very excited about it. Before we begin, here are some quick guidelines. We do have the lines muted while the speaker is presenting. If you have a question, please dial *2 on your phone. I will see that your hand is raised. Sessions will last 50 minutes, and we will have an hour break after this session. There are handouts available for some of the sessions online at nonfictionwritersconference.com. If you're a Twitter user, please use #NFWC with all your tweets. We've been having some good chats there. And as a reminder, these sessions are being recorded. I'm very happy to welcome Chris Garrett. He's the author of the Pro Blogger book, which was published by Wiley. I read it when it first came out. Highly recommend it. And he's the founder of the Authority Blogger course and VP of Educational Content for Copyblogger Media. Chris, I am so happy to welcome you to the event. The floor is yours.
Thank you for having me. And I've been looking at the hashtag. Looks like everybody's having a great time. So this is a really cool thing, and I'm glad to be part of it. So my session is probably a little bit different to everybody else's, in that I'm talking from the point of view of somebody who's known for selling entirely digital products, and not many people know the author side to me, because I'm very shy, I don't really tell people about it. But before I did all online stuff, I did have a few books that are very geeky, and you probably can't find them in bookstores anymore. Things about mainstream subjects like C# programming with GDI Plus, you know, household names like that. But the main reason why I'm excited about this is because I get asked a lot of questions about blogging, and people in particular who want to blog to get an audience of people who want to buy their book. And the number one question I always get is, how can I make my book a bestseller? And the answer I always give people, which isn't the happiest of answers I can give, is the best way to be a bestseller is to already be a bestseller. And when people realize I'm serious, they usually have a sad face. And one of the worst things I can ever see in my life is a sad face. So I'm going to tell you why it's not such a sad thing after all. You don't have to be a bestseller in a traditional way. You don't have to be a New York Times bestseller to have a New York Times bestseller. But you do need to have what being a bestseller brings these people. So if you look at the authors who have sold the most books, it's usually because they have a ready-made market. They have a group of people, raving fans, they have happy customers, they have people waiting in anticipation for the next book. And you can do that without having an already successful book. So that's the first question I always get. How can I be a bestseller? And so I tell people, either be a bestseller or have what a best-selling author has, which is a good product, a good reputation, and a platform to have people who are ready and anticipating the book. The second thing people say is, I'm writing a book so that I can quit my job and I can retire and live on a beach, because this book's going to sell so well, I'm going to make a fortune. And that always gives me pause, because a book in itself, unless you're somebody like J.K. Rowling, isn't necessarily going to be a route to fortune, but the authority that a book can bring can do wonders for your business. It can create a business. You can create a business around it. So that's fantastic. The key to both, the key to being a bestseller without being a bestseller, and the key to building a business around it, for me, is to have an authority blog. Not just a blog where you write about your day-to-day life and you post cat pictures, but an authority blog which positions yourself as the go-to expert in your field. It makes you the go-to person, makes you the know, like, and trusted person. So if that's something that you want to hear about, we're in the right place. If it's not something you want to hear about, there's a Q&A section at the end of the session where you can tell me so. Okay. So how do you get this audience? How do you get the people that are ready to buy from you, who want what you're creating? How do you get the visibility and the reputation? How do you build that audience? And the process I use comes down to three key things, and then a fourth and a fifth that are attached to those three things. And the three things is ARC, ARC, attraction, retention, and conversion. So I'm going to go into some mistakes in a little bit, but one of the biggest mistakes people make is they only focus on one of those things. And mainly people get obsessed about traffic. So instead of focusing on traffic and getting frustrated and getting onto this treadmill of constantly trying to drive traffic, instead we have to look at attraction, retention, and conversion. Attraction is creating visibility, but in a way that is focused on bringing people to you. Retention is keeping that interest, keeping that attention, making a situation where people are going to be happy long-term, building loyalty. And conversion is getting people to buy stuff. And obviously you can't force this. You can't batter people over the head with your offers, tell people all the time about your book, because you just turn them off and you'll lose your retention. So you have to attract, i.e. you're not driving people, you're not pushing, you're not spamming, you're attracting people, keep them happy, keep their long-term interest, build loyalty and relationships. And then when the time is right, then you make offers. You make offers knowing that it's something that they actually want, positioned in a way they want it, packaged in the way they want it. Now, I mentioned that there are two other elements that are very closely related. One is planning. So you don't just go in there and say, I've built a better mousetrap, it's awesome, you should buy it. You actually find out what people really want. And the last one is referrals. And whole businesses are built around referrals. We know this. Everybody's got a guy for plumbing, roofing, or everybody wishes they had a guy that can do things, a go-to guy for, you know, electrical or plumbing or building stuff, right? So referrals are absolutely key, but people never really think about it in terms of being strategic. But referrals are where social media have really played a big part in business. Referrals are how people work in reality. But when it comes to websites and blogs, people seem to forget. And when you think about it, search engines are a really powerful referral. You go to Google and it refers people to you. And what all of this comes down to is focusing on people. So forget about traffic, in quotes. Don't think about traffic. Think about how you're going to attract people. Keep those people interested. Build a relationship with people. Build offers or position your book in a way that people will want to buy it because it's going to serve a need. And how can you be so good that people refer people to you? So that's the underpinning for everything. It's not about numbers. It's not about data necessarily. It's about people. Data is finding out about those people, how you can serve them better. So don't make the big mistake that lots of people make, which is, I need more traffic. In reality, most people don't need more traffic. They need to attract more of the right people, the people that can most help, who are going to be happy customers and tell other people how awesome you are. So with that in mind, the next thing is, what other mistakes do people make before they even get started? So the first big mistake is they start to get a little bit of progress and then they exhaust the goodwill. So by putting great information out there, helping people, you will build up goodwill. But there are so many people out there that think, okay, now I've attracted a bit of an audience, I can pound them with promotions. Don't do that. it's not about building lists so you can just sell to them directly. That's going from attraction to conversion without the retention in between. What you have to do, as I said before, is when you've attracted somebody, you have to serve them as best you can, make them super happy, build a relationship with them so they're happy to buy from you. And you're only putting things in front of them that they're going to be interested in. The people who, on day one of you joining their email list, send you an offer, and then day two they send you an offer, day three they send you an offer, they're the people who burn out their goodwill. They're the people who say to you, oh, email lists, they don't work, social media doesn't work, or, you know, I get people onto an email list and they leave within 6 months, 3 weeks, so I have to get as many offers in as possible. Don't do that. Instead, treat people as you'd like to be treated. People join the list because they expect you to give them good stuff, not to pound them with offers. So don't go in thinking that you're going to talk about your book all the time. Your book is not interesting to them if you just position it like that. It's not something for them to buy. Instead, what does that book do for people? What does your subject do for people? What is the outcome you're going to help people create? Closely related to that is attracting the wrong people. So when people focus on traffic, when people focus just on getting exposure, you're not attracting the right people with the right message. So turn that around, you need to attract the right people with the right message. If you go to the right places with the correct message, with the help and knowledge and the tips and the strategies that you can share with people, if you can actually make a difference to people, and you attract the right people who you can most help, then your audience is going to grow and it's actually going to be people who want to hear from you. If instead you think, I just need 1 million people, I need 100,000 people, I need 10,000 people, then you're not going to attract the right people, you're not going to have the right message, and they're not necessarily going to be people that you want to actually work with. And that's really sad. When you see people at conferences who bump into a customer and run the other way, you know that's not a good thing. So make sure you're attracting the right people in the right places with the right message. It's not a numbers game. It's not about traffic. It's about attracting the right people. And the last one, big mistake, and we've all seen this on websites, is the website where it's all me, me, me. When they're only talking about the self, what they're interested in, what they want to talk about, broadcasting, selling, make it about what your audience wants. What's in it for me is what everybody asks when they come to a website. Why should they care? Why should they care about you? Why should they care about the content you have? What are they going to get out of this? Talk about them. And yes, we do tell stories, but the stories in a way that matter to them. There are stories with a message for them. There are stories with a lesson for them. Again, attract people. Retain their interest. It's not about you. You get to you in a way that is relevant and in context to what they want to achieve, what problems they want to solve. So how do you create content on a regular basis that does that? We're all short of time. We all have other things to do. We have lives, right? Some of us can make this a full-time job, but very few of us can. So especially if you're writing your book, you're having to split your time between the book and the blog. So how do you do it? You've got four options, and the first is the preference. Everybody really wants to start with the first one, but the others are options too, to save you time or free up your time. So it's create, curate, delegate, automate. Create, curate, delegate, automate. Create is you being the writer. That's you creating original content. Content that's going to attract people, keep their interest. It's going to be useful for them so that they tell other people about it. Next in priority would be to curate. Curate is finding interesting things that are happening in the news, in your industry, in your marketplace, in the world, and then sharing it with your audience. Now, if you're creating an authority blog, curation is a tricky thing. And the trick, the secret behind it to grow your authority while curating is to share things that are very useful. So you're sorting the signal from the noise and putting your opinion, your spin, your editorial against it. So you're telling people why this is important, why this is news, how it is useful, how to use this piece of information. Next is delegate. So you could have a team blog. You could have guest authors. And that comes in really handy because then it's not all on your shoulders. You could have a virtual assistant. You could have an editor. You know, editors aren't just to make the actual text better, but it could be somebody that goes in and formats the post, finds images, and makes it all look good. So you just give them raw text, and then they make it look good on your website, saving you time. My wife actually does this for an online magazine. Right? So there's a growing field of people who help gather the website and bring it together, not necessarily writers. And then there's automation tools. So you have to be careful with automation because you don't want to lose your voice. And it's the same with delegation. If you have a virtual assistant doing your social media, I recommend you don't have somebody tweeting for you, right? I don't recommend you have somebody that's answering questions for you. I think you should keep that voice. That's where your authority comes from. But in terms of making life easier for you, then by all means, delegate and automate. And when there's a disaster happening in the world and people are still promoting their products, people really get upset about that. So if you have delegation, if you have automation tools, so if you're outsourcing to a tool or a person, make sure you can turn it off as soon as you can if there's anything wrong going on in the world that people are focusing on in your community and they don't want to hear from you about offers anymore. But if you can organize your time so that you've got enough time to create, then do that. Otherwise, look at curation, delegation / outsourcing, and automating. And I would always rather have one strong blog post a week than try to do 5 forced, phoned-in posts a week. You're only as good as your last article, and people will remember. So my recommendation is, if you've only got so many minutes in a week, split up the task. So on Monday, come up with some headline ideas. Tuesday, outline those headline ideas. Wednesday, fill in the gaps in your outline. Thursday, edit, 5, publish, and promote. Okay? So the next thing is, you need to get that audience. And you're not going to start with a massive audience. What you need actually is a core group of the right people. If you're promoting yourself and promoting a book, you don't need hundreds of thousands of visitors a day. You only need hundreds of thousands of visitors a day if you're making money with ads, because ads pay so little per visitor. If your core message is around a book, and actually if you've built a business that is going to use the book as a platform, as a stepping stone, then you need a smaller audience but a more engaged, a more interested audience. And Brian Clark calls this the minimum viable audience. A minimum viable audience is an audience that's just big enough that they tell you what they're interested in, what their needs are, what keeps them up at night, what they want from you. And it's big enough that you get those referrals, you get comments, and you get engagement. So you need a MVA, minimum viable audience. And that's exactly how Brian Clark started copyblogger.com. He started knowing that there was an audience of people who he could reach, but he didn't know exactly what they wanted until they started telling him, asking him questions, sending him emails, blog comments. And they basically put their hands up and said, this is what we want from you. Please create this and we'll buy it. And that's how he knew he had a business rather than just a blog. And that's a multi-million dollar business. It's an education and software company. It started with a blog, copyblogger.com. Having that minimum viable audience will give you confidence. It will allow you to test your ideas. When Jerry Seinfeld was starting out, he's like a billionaire now. He's a billionaire now. But when he was starting out, he didn't know what was funny and what wasn't. He knew what was funny to him, right? So he would go on speaking circuit and he would try different things. He would get a reaction from the audience. He would get a laugh. He would get boos. Or he would get, you know, indifference. Laughs and boos he could do something with. Indifference, it didn't tell him a lot, so he'd try something else. And that's what you need to do with your minimum viable audience. It's like your focus group, right? They're going to tell you what they like, what they don't like, either through their behavior, through your stats, right? Or they're going to tell you in person. And what you need to do is encourage that feedback. So in the first email message of your newsletter, say, what can I help you with? What would you like me to write about? What are you struggling with? What's keeping you up at night? What information can't you find that would be really useful to you? And in your blog posts, always end with a call to action. And the main one, the one that you want to do most often is add your experiences in the comments. What do you think about this? And then you're going to start getting that feedback. So get feedback early and often. And use that to course correct. Use that to clarify. Find out where people get stuck. What do they need? What do they need from you? And, of course, you want to grow your list, right? So you want that minimum viable audience to grow. So how do you do that? So the next thing you need to do is start with this core group. And that core group could be family, friends, people you've worked with before, anybody in your network. But you need to get the word out, right? You need to start getting these referrals. So don't start with, hey, I've got this awesome book, because nobody wants to hear that. And don't send people to your website, which sounds counterintuitive. Instead, send people to content. And if you're going to be in front of an audience, either through a guest posting opportunity, a magazine article, public speaking, if you're going to be on a teleseminar, if you're going to be interviewed, the best place to send people is a free email offer where they put their email address and they get something awesome in return. And you don't tell people, please follow me, please sign up, please add your email address. What you say is, this is what they're going to get. This is what you're going to achieve by consuming this video, email, ebook, whatever, the first chapter of your book. Tell them the results they're going to get by taking your advice. Remember, it's what's in it for me. It's not about you. So send people to a page that tells people exactly what they're going to get right now and what they're going to get in the future. So you don't say, I have this awesome ebook. You say, give me 5 minutes and I will help you do this. I will help you stop your dog barking. I will help you get that promotion. I will help you get the partner of your dreams. The focus is on them, on their needs, what they want. And want usually trumps need. You have seen this all through the world, that if somebody has something they want and something they need, they're always going to go for what they want, even if they suffer long term. You know, we're not people that like to hear about insurance, but we'll buy that chocolate, okay? So if you can focus on what they want, then deliver what they need via what they want. John Morrow created a course about writing, but he advertises it as a course about traffic. And when people buy the course, he tells them the way to get this traffic is through writing better, right? Deliver what they want via what they need. Sorry, deliver what they need via what they want, because they're interested in what they want. There's an urgency about what they want. But you know, to give them what they want, you have to show them what they need. So what are they going to get now? What are they going to get in the future? That's how you get people to take action right now and then stay interested. The way email lists grow, the way audiences will grow, is they need to know exactly what they're going to get, why should they take action right now, but also they need to have a prediction of future value. They need to be able to forecast what they're going to get in the future. And that's the trick behind getting your audience to grow, because you don't want to lose as many people as you attract. And people unsubscribe from lists all the time. So you have to keep their interest. That's the real trick. You don't want a revolving door. You don't want to add 100 people and lose 100 people because it looks like you've not done anything. What are they going to get now? What are they going to get in the future? So I mentioned that you would start with a core group. And I want to give you an example. So if you look at socialmediaexaminer.com, they have over 100,000 email subscribers. How did they do that? How did Mike Stelzner actually do that? What Mike did was he went to what he calls his fire starters. That's Mary Smith, Denise Wakeman, myself. And he said, will you help me get this off the ground? Will you use your influence to get people to check it out? And you remember I said, no, like, and trust. We knew Mike. We love him. We trust him. Of course we were going to do that, right? So who are your fire starters? Who can you reach out to? Who already knows, likes, and trusts you? Because when you say you're awesome, there's a limited amount of appeal and a limited amount of trust. When somebody else says you're awesome, that's when you've got something. So it's not like going out and saying, please follow me on Twitter. It's follow Mike on Twitter, follow Mike's blog, follow Mike's Facebook page. When those people make those referrals and they bring friends, that's not just another person who knows about you, but there's an endorsement, there's added trust, there's added familiarity, there's a reduced risk. All right, so who are your fire starters? Who already thinks you're awesome? Who believes in you? Who's willing to go out to their audience and bring people? Even better, instead of bringing people to you, can they bring people to your great content that's going to help them? Who knows what you do? Who knows how you help people? Who can bring people to the resources on your blog? So it's not about you. It's not about what Rachel or Christine or Marsha or, you know, Sue do. It's what it does for them. What's the outcome or transformation that you bring for people? So the next thing, after you've got this core group of people telling people how awesome you are, then you have to think about what is attracting people, what's attracting the right people. What is the what's in it for me, for them, for the right people, the people you can most help, the people who are within reach? Dig into the knowledge you're gaining, the things that you're trying and testing. What's working? What can you do more of? What isn't working so well? Because these people have to come of their own free will. I don't like the phrase drive traffic, because that makes you sound like a cowboy driving cattle. You know, don't picture yourself with a Stetson. Picture yourself with a big magnet, right? What's going to attract people? And it's hard when you start, but as you start getting some traction, you'll see the content that works and the content that doesn't work so well. You can focus in on what really matters to people, and you can start communicating with people. Grab somebody on Skype and actually talk to them. People love it because they're so surprised. You know, they're surprised when you answer their emails. So it's a really good thing to do. As you grow your audience, as you start getting these positive reactions, you get questions, you get people to actually sign up for your teleseminars and webinars, you get people to make comments, to start sharing, then you've got an idea that you've got something here. You've got an idea of what they're interested in. So you can go into pre-launch of your book. You can go into the staging of your launch. So measure how much goodwill and desire you've started building up. Remember, AIDA, attention, interest, desire, and action. So you need to build attention and interest and desire before they'll take action. People buy with their minds before they buy with their credit cards. You can't just say, okay, it's available to buy, and people go buy it. They have to prepare. They have to start desiring this thing. You have to tune in on what they're interested in and show how you can help people. So you need to build this goodwill first. So measure the reaction you're getting. The next thing is probably the most important. Look at what other successful people have done before you in your market. What's working right now? What isn't working so well? See if you can translate it to your own voice and your own audience, your own tribe. And you can test this while building visibility. Get interviewed. Get people to review the first drafts. Get people to offer your bonus, your email bonus, to their audience. And if you've got the ability to do teleseminars, webinars, even face-to-face workshops, do it, because you'll get instant feedback. More people will know about you. You can get people onto your list by saying there's more resources if you're interested. You know, you can share your slides. Just add your email address. Do you want the audio? Add your email address. 1,000 people on a webinar, another 1,000 people on your list, right? They have to sign up to get the webinar. Get them to join the list. Say you'll send the webinar details or the teleseminar details straight away. They have to give you their email address to get on it. Build up that momentum. So you're building desire, you're building interest, you're getting people thinking and talking about your subject and how your techniques or your ideas or your experience can help people. Then you're ready to launch. And a launch can be daunting, so I'm going to make it really easy. There's three emails you need to send to sell your book. One, it's opening, it's coming. One, it's available. Another email to say it's closing. So with a book that you want to sell all the time, how can you close it? It's obvious you can say it's coming because it'll be published on a certain day. It's obvious you can say it's okay to buy it now, but how do you close it? And the way you do that is to offer some sort of bonus for people who are the first early adopters. Can you offer 30 minutes on the telephone or Skype as coaching? Can you offer a video series? Have you got something else to give? Have any of your friends in the market got anything to offer as a bonus? And that means you've got urgency and scarcity. Urgency is, why should I buy this right away? Why should I take action? And scarcity is, part of us is hardwired to want what is scarce, right? We always want the last cookie. eBay, people say, I won this on eBay. No, you didn't. You bought it on eBay, right? Urgency and scarcity. That's what makes a launch. That's the difference between something being available to buy and being a big launch. Urgency and scarcity. And finally, make sure all of your communication answers the following objections. These are the minimum that you have to answer. Why should I buy? Why should I buy from you? Why should I buy now? There's two more objections that everybody asks. How much is it to buy? What is the purchase price? And will it work for me? I can see it will work, but will it work for me in my situation? If you do those things, you're going to have a good launch. Remember, urgency and scarcity, that's part of why should I buy now. But why should I buy? Why should I buy from you when I could buy from somebody else? Why should I buy now? So if I've timed this right, we're ready for questions.
That was wonderful, amazing. I've been tweeting like a mad person over here. It's *2 on your phone to ask questions. And Chris, you had me when you said, don't hammer your audience with promotions. As you know, that is a very common practice in the internet marketing world. It's been a pet peeve of mine for years. I've refused to ever use those practices, and it just thrills me that you follow that same philosophy, so thank you. We have a question from Bowen Island. You're on the line.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hi there. Chris, thank you so much for your talk and all the information. It's very well organized and very clear, so thank you. I guess I have a more specific question. I work in an academy that offers consultation to people about relationships and having more fulfilling families that they can build. And we're writing books on several subjects that relate to that. One of the things that we've had a challenge with is about the blog aspect, how to offer good content on a blog that is not giving away, and maybe the trick or maybe the catch is in the question, but that is not giving away the important content that people join the courses for in order to receive it. I don't know if my question makes sense.
Yes, it does make sense. And I've got an answer for that. There's two aspects to the answer. Is Bowen Island in British Columbia? Is that the one?
Yes, not the one in Australia.
Oh, perfect. I need to visit Bowen Island. Okay, so there's two ways of approaching this. One, you could give away the fast, cheap, quick tips and then sell the advanced, in-depth, more difficult stuff. Okay, so you give away the introductory, newbie, basic, but you sell the more advanced. So give away grade one, sell grade two. Another way of doing it is you can give general advice away for free, but the tailored specific advice has to be really paid for. Okay? So that's two different approaches. So if you were looking at dating sort of relationships, you could say, this is how to introduce yourself to somebody who you're attracted to. But then you would sell, okay, this is how to get them to give you your number, their number, right? If it was blogging, you would give away, this is how to set up your blog, but you would sell, this is how to make your blog popular. As a coach, you can say, I will give you some general tips that will work for most people, but if you want me to look into your situation, your specific situation, then really you need to book a consultation. Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes sense.
But remember, you can give away 99% of everything. It's amazing. To give you an example, the Pro Blogger book from Darren and myself, that has been on sale since 2008, I think. And the amount of people who have actually bought my consultations or coaching or products because of the book just amazed me, because the book in their hands gives them reassurance that you know what you're talking about, and then they'll come to you, even if the questions are pretty much in the book anyway. And going back further than that, when I started online writing articles, I would write these free tutorials, computer programming tutorials, and people would say, yeah, I want you to get on a plane and come and show my team how to do this programming thing. And I'd say, well, there's a free tutorial. You know, it'll save everybody time and money. And they'd say, yeah, yeah, but we actually want you to come in. And they wanted me to demonstrate the exact same thing that the free tutorials talked about. And it's because people are always willing to pay for either tailored advice or to have the one-to-one contact, you know, the access to you. Membership sites, coaching programs, it's all about access to you as well as your knowledge and experience.
Okay, thank you very much, Chris.
Hope it helps.
Wonderful advice. We have a caller in Farmington. You're on the line.
Hi, this is Laura. Thank you for all this great content. My question is, I was wondering if you could speak to, if you don't have any fire starters or know of your fire starters, I know of no pyros in my immediate circle.
Okay.
I'm wondering if you could speak to that.
Have a look around to see where the people in your target audience are hanging out online or in person.
Oh,
is there
okay.
a networking group? Is there a community forum? Is there a Facebook page? Is there a Google Plus group? And just start getting into the community and be helpful and be, you know, generous and be approachable in that community. And I'll give you an example of somebody who did this really well. Robert Peters came to me as a coaching client, and he wanted to move out of specifically IT into more general business advice, small business help. So I gave him that advice, and within the week he'd got two new coaching clients. And basically what he did was he went into LinkedIn, found a small business networking group, and started answering questions. And people were alerted to the fact that this guy was just helping people, not promoting his business at all. And they said, "You're the guy I need. How can we work together?" And say, "Well, I've got this coaching." "Right, that's it. Where do I sign?" So within a week, he'd got two coaching clients. And it was because he was helpful first, he was generous first, and he was showing up as being valuable rather than showing up and saying, "Hey, look at my cool thing." So if you can go out into communities, I mean, there's a community about everything. I mean, I've got
right, so you're not talking about your actual friendship. You're talking about online or whatever relationships you fostered.
Yeah. The more they know, like, and trust you, the better, but you can build that know, like, and trust by being helpful, right?
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
Wonderful. I think I recognize this caller, Vicki Ward. Is that you?
Yes, Stephanie, that's me again. Stephanie, you continue to do it again, and I'm enjoying this, and I'm enjoying Chris very much. Chris, I've got a little bit of a different situation. I don't know if you can. I'm sure you can. My newest book that's coming out, I've got a couple of books. One is a midlife kind of tips and things to do for women after 50. That's been out for a year and a half. But the new one that's coming out is my second volume of women's stories, women talking about life and death and family and everything. And so it's an anthology that I really plan to blog about. I plan to, I've got a reading audience out there, 47, 48 women who are contributors to this. So how can I, and I don't have any per se information products for this particular book, how can I continue to spread the word and build a larger base of people that want to read my blog?
I think that's a fantastic thing for building a community and building that empathy and connection. And that's how I'd approach it. I actually have a Facebook page that's not ever going to make me any money. It's aimed at geeks. My brother, a friend of mine, and myself, we started it, and we call it Geekahole. And it's purely about geeks, right? Just whatever geeks are interested in, science fiction, Lord of the Rings, all of that, okay? But it's a community, and it's aimed at the target audience perfectly, and everybody else would just shake their heads and walk away. So it's polarizing. And I think through those stories, they're going to be inspirational. They're going to touch people. They're going to inspire people, right? That's perfect because it's heart. It's, emotional hot buttons that gets everybody. Human interest stories, right?
Yes.
It makes the world go round. And I think that's the position to start with. How does this touch people? How will it inspire people? You know, on Facebook, you could take a couple of sentences and make one of those quote images, and it'll share around. But then when people find out there's a whole story behind it and a whole person behind it, that's when you really got something.
Okay.
So that's the position I would take. I would say, who is this going to touch? Who is this going to reach on a personal level? And the story and the inspiration and how it touches people's emotions, that's the vehicle. It's not about, you're not promoting the thing, you're promoting how it reaches people and gets people to think in a different way.
Thank you. That's what I needed. Thank you so much. Appreciate
it. I recognize this caller as well. I believe that's Lucinda. You're on the line.
Thank you. I'm mesmerized. I have a situation in that I offer a service. My specialty is in the health field. I am a registered nurse. And I get questions all the time, which I answer sometimes, but with lots of caveats and things to protect myself. People ask me all the time if they could pay to consult with me, and I don't do that because I have a license to protect. So I just wanted to know if you've had any experience with people in my profession who could offer consulting services but are uncomfortable doing that because they have a medical license.
Yeah, one of the things that you can do is say, due to my license, I can't give you specifically advice in this way, but what I can do is answer the general question in public for a general audience of things to look at, things, ideas, people to inquire with. So you can say, I can't talk to you, Bob, but I can talk to people about the same problem Bob has. So people in the legal field or in nutrition sometimes do that just to say, you know, this is not legal advice, this is not medical advice, but we can talk about the subject.
Yeah.
The other thing you can do is refer people to people who are happy to do that. So, you know, there are some people who are willing to take on clients online, and you can put people in touch.
Okay, yeah, that's pretty much what I do, but sometimes I'm chomping at the bit because I know the answers to their questions, but I just will not make myself.
Is it possible to package the advice? You know, is it possible to have small e-books or that instead of it being specific to their situation would still be helpful to them?
Yes, I do, and I do refer them to. I've written hundreds of fact sheets on specific questions, and so I just refer them to that information. But it's sometimes really exhausting just to at least answer everyone and say, sorry, I can't help you, and there may be an answer in this fact sheet. So
one of the things you could think about doing is getting a third party to say, I'm sorry, but you know, we as a team can't give specific advice, and as you're aware, the professionals in this business are very busy. But here's some, and then it takes some of the pressure off you personally.
Great, thank you. That's good advice.
When my business started getting going, we had a situation for a while where people were constantly asking me specific questions and picking my brain, and I did consider having my wife answer on my behalf because it's, you know, more, it's less of a rejection when you say, you know, we can't fully help you for free, but.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
Lucinda, I don't know the medical industry very well, but I was also wondering if there's maybe a type of insurance you might investigate that would cover you and allow you to do that as well.
Actually, there is, and I think it's just one of those, it's one more thing that I could add, but I think there's fundamentally a part of me that because I give a huge service to the hepatitis C community, I feel like that's the one line that I do not want to take money from patients. I'm happy to sell them my book, but I want to hold their hands, and I just
well, good, then don't. Then, yeah, you don't have to do that. That's good.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Since we have an extended break after the session, I'd like to take a couple more questions. Chris, do you mind a couple more minutes?
I'm happy to, yeah.
Thank you. Danville, California. You're on the line.
Hi, this is Dina. Thanks, Chris. Great info. I had a question. You know, I know the general rule of thumb, or at least I've read before, was to do your blog postings like Tuesday through Thursday in the mornings. And I know you can, you know, post at different times and kind of track the results to see when people are reading it. But is that still the general rule of thumb, or just post when inspiration strikes?
I think the answer is one of those, do what works for you. And like you say, you can try different things. But it's funny, I've been writing articles online since like the early 1990s. So when the web first started, I started sharing programming advice. And the stuff that I really prepared in advance and really tailored and crafted and really put all of my energy into didn't seem to do as well as the stuff that I just pounded out in 10 minutes as a rant. So do what works for you. But sometimes, you know, when you're passionate and the inspiration strikes and you just send something out there, sometimes that gets the best result. So I do like to be strategic and, you know, think about these things all the way through. But what can often happen is some of the passion is reduced and some of spontaneity is reduced, and sometimes there's more of a connection and more of a result when it's raw. So I think do what works for you, see what your audience reacts to, because your audience, even compared to people who are writing about exactly the same thing, is going to be unique to you, because we attract the people we attract. So see what works for you and see what approach works for you, and, you know, see what helps you come up with the ideas and get the results, because that's what's really important, how you touch people, motivate them, inspire them, you know, help them.
Great, thank you.
Wonderful. And we're going to take one last question. This one's Ledu.
Yes, hi, this is Peter in St. Louis. Chris, thank you. Some wonderful content on all fronts here today. Quick question regarding how to attract people to your content. I hear so many things about focus on the pain triggers, and then on the other hand, it's better to focus on getting people's attention by trying to get them to realize you can help them get what they want. What are your thoughts on that? Is there a combination? Do you recommend one over the other?
I think they're both related. So you have to talk about the pain before you can give them a solution. If people don't believe they've got a headache, then they're not going to want your aspirin. So in copywriting, it's called twisting the knife. So you get their attention with something that's on their mind, and then you say, do you realize it's actually potentially worse than you think it is? Or, you know, if you don't treat this, it's not going to get any better, and it actually will get worse. And in coaching, this is really important, because people don't take action on coaching unless, A, they believe they've got the problem that you're solving, and B, that you can solve it with them. And, you know, you can't solve it for them, you always solve it with them. So if you think about somebody who, say somebody that's massively in debt, right? If they keep their existing behavior, is it going to get better? No. Could it get worse? Well, yes. If they're spending money they don't have, and they're not paying these debts off, and the debts are getting bigger, then it's never going to get better. So you have to talk to the problem that they have, the fact that they need to take some sort of action, not necessarily with you, and then you can lead them to your solution. So you have headlines that either talk to the problem or talk to the benefit. So we're all towards and away from people. We try to move away from pain and we move towards pleasure or goals. So you either have to speak to that, or you have to talk about the conversation that they're already having in their heads. You know, so if something's keeping them up at night, either as a dream or as a problem, that's what you speak to. That's how you get their attention with your headlines. And then the introduction, then you have to keep that attention, because the headline is to get them to read the introduction is to get them to read the article. So that's when you twist the knife, or tell them it doesn't have to be like this, or when you tell them, I was there, this, you know, this was me 2 years ago. Where you are now, I've been there and I can help you. But it's not about you, as I said before, it's about how they can solve their problem or get to where they want to be.
Right. Okay, well, thank you. That's helpful and reaffirms some things, and I appreciate that. Thank you again for all your thoughts.
Hope it works, yeah.
We still have several. If you don't mind, we'll take one more here.
That's fine.
Let's see. San Francisco, you're on the line.
Can you hear
me? Yes,
hello? Can hear you. It's Skype. I never know what number is actually showing. Hi, Chris. Hi, Stephanie. So here's the quick question. Most of my clients, when we're doing marketing and we talk about content creation, there's always a hard sell that I'm having a hard time actually communicating. The question sounds like I have a friend who has a problem, but it's really me. So the real situation is, when people talk about content and creating content, the feedback that I get often is that the content already exists. What would be different of me actually communicating it, me making it available? And, you know, Stephanie wrote a book and talked about it yesterday about being niche-y and focusing on the differentiation. But a lot of times these organizations they're already in business. They're already doing something on a daily basis. So I'm having a hard time communicating what area to actually write a blog about, or whatever it might be, to put it, give them a starting point. So this call is very good from a data point, but it's just starting to getting out and starting, I think, is the question I'm trying to resolve.
Right. So if I understand correctly, the question is how to make it unique and differentiate it when you're already in business and other people are already in that market, right?
That's right. That's right. Whether it's information marketing or whether it's blogging.
Okay. So the first thing, the starting point is there is not another you in the world. There is nobody else with your voice, your experience, how you've got to where you are today. Nobody has your stories and anecdotes. Nobody has your way of looking at the world. And that's what you share. When you're sharing in a blogging, relational, personal, intimate way, that's what you're sharing. You're sharing not just the facts, but your perspective on the facts, how you've approached it, how you've got to it, the mistakes you've made. Mistakes are brilliant, actually. If you've overcome them or not, mistakes are fantastic because we're hardwired for problems. We're hardwired to look for the tiger in the bushes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you can share mistakes that you've made that to save other people making the same mistakes, that's differentiating, it's useful, and it's personal, right? But it's not me, mm-hmm. me. So that's how I look at it. It's how many people write blogs about blogging? There's thousands, right? For some reason, I still attract a certain group of people. Some people I turn off, some people are happy.
Mm-hmm.
So you focus on the people you can reach with what you can share. You know, what's the value of your knowledge experience? If there's information that everybody should know, put your spin on it. Brian Clark is a perfect example because copywriting has been written about for, you know, decades, hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm.
But he'll say the Iggy Pop guide to, right? Because
right.
he's a massive music fan. So he combines these two seemingly unrelated things and together they create something unique. So if you have other interests to bear, you know, I'll talk about Star Wars, right, because I'm a geek. That's another way of adding a personal unique layer to it. And it doesn't have to be naff. It doesn't have to be cheesy. You know, if you're into psychology and your topic is bicycles, then there's probably a way of combining those as well.
Mm-hmm. Terrific. Thank you. Very helpful.
Fabulous. Chris, would you please remind everyone where they can learn more about you?
ChrisG.com. That's the best way. And I've been reminded from this session that I haven't blogged since February.
Well, I've been feeling guilty because I haven't blogged in 2 weeks because of the conference, so I feel better. But I have to say, this was one of my favorite presentations. Thank you very much. For everyone listening, we have an hour break, and then we have Sandra Beckwith coming back with do-it-yourself PR strategies. I'd like to open up the lines so everyone can give you a shout-out as we go. Thank you so very much. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chris. Thank you very much.